Well, I'm honored to be here, as always, and I just wanted to know how many years of marriage are we celebrating here, Pastor? 30 years of marriage. Amen. Can we give them a round of applause? Because let me tell you something, in our culture today, in our society, man, that should be honored and that should be applauded. Amen. Because, and I never knew anybody that was their birthday, except for my father married my mother on his birthday. So you're right there, right around the corner. Well, praise God. I just want to, honor you guys and thank y'all so much, Pastor Elvin, Pastor Bonnie, for all that you have done in the kingdom. And I've watched you as I was a young man. Of course, at Lakewood, always watched you and always honored to see the kind of man that you were and the integrity that you had and what you did in the ministry and the ushers and the prayer partners and stuff like that. And you inspired me always in my family. So well, we're very, very grateful. And a lot of the things that we have in our ministry are due because of the example that you guys were to us. Amen. Amen. And, it's only through Christ that we can able to display and that character of Christ. Amen. And so I'm very grateful. And I know that the relationship that we have had for many years, we've been there now 6 years. And Pastor Elvin was there from the beginning, would help us start the ministry, help us preach. He was preaching every other Wednesday and stuff like that. And now the ministry has grown. Amen. I see this ministry has grown from the last time I was here. So it's great to see the fruit. Amen. The fruit of the labor of the people that labor. And I know it's not just Pastor Elvin and Bonnie. It's many, many of you that labor behind the scenes. God uses so many people to bring more souls into the kingdom. Amen. So I'm very grateful to be here today. And as I was talking to Brother Robert at City on the Hill, was telling me that Pastor was preaching a little series on love, right? Just finishing up love. And so I was just asking the Lord what he would have me to bring. And this was that message that the Lord put in my heart that I just brought to my congregation, but it was really about that relationship. Amen. I've been preaching on the book of Galatians there at City on a Hill, and right here in chapter 3 and 4, I really believe that it would really, really, I think it's a word in season. Amen. It's a word in season, and this is a Bible study. Amen. So we should have our Bibles to study. Amen. So we're going to open up the Word of God today to the book of Galatians. And if you could just go to that next screen there. And so, I want to just begin with a little background. I'm not going to go through chapters 1 and 2. I'll hit a little bit on 3. But the Apostle Paul was a man. He was a great, great man of God. When he got the gospel, he went and he did extramountable things. He was the one preaching, the just shall live by faith. Amen. So, and I don't know if any of you have done any research, but a lot of the revelation that he had, the disciples didn't even have. Matter of fact, when you go back and look at the dates when the epistles were written, they were written before the gospels was written. They were written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written between 70 and 90 AD. And, the epistles, when you look at Galatians, it was written in 55 AD. All of these epistles that were written about faith and about grace and about how we should live, by grace through faith, the Apostle Paul was doing all this. So the book of Galatians is this. Here's this man of God that got knocked off his high horse, and he gets this fire in him. And immediately he starts preaching the gospel right there in Damascus. And the book of Galatians is a book to where here he is. He establishes churches in Galatia. And then after he goes, he's planting another church, going to Ephesians, going to Ephesus. But here comes these brothers that are saved, that love Jesus, these Judaizers. And they're going to try to put all of these laws on this new church, on these people that just got saved. So, Paul's, he's kind of, he hits them straightforward. I mean, he's going at them, and he's telling them, you know, hey, look, you don't need to be circumcised. How many of you men, if you came to this church and he said, we told you, you got to be circumcised, you probably would have turned around. Amen? Amen. So that's, now we read it, but like in them days, they were like, brother, you can come over. There's a room over there. We're going to circumcise you. If you want to be, and he probably sent us, honey, you go ahead and join for us. We're going to wait out back. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's what the law, see, they knew about Christ. They walked with Christ for 3.5 years, but they just couldn't get that routine or that ritual, that tradition out of their heart and out of their minds. Amen. And when Paul came, he came with Greeks. He came with these other Gentiles and these pagans. They got saved. Amen. They got the fire lit on them. And so he started sending them out. Titus, Timothy, Luke, all these people, they were going out. And so the Jewish people were not receiving them very well. You know, I say, oh, you preaching this gospel. Because in chapter 1, Paul tells them, I marvel that you are turning away from the gospel that I preached to you. You're going after another gospel. And you only thought there was one. But there is a gospel that would try to put burdens and laws and tradition and routine and all of these things. You got to do this in order to get this. You got to do that in order to get that. There is two gospels. And they're still being preached today. So if you don't know the word of God, and if you don't know how God wants you to live, the right gospel, the only gospel. The Apostle Paul says that's the only true gospel is the one I'm preaching to you today. The one that's telling you that you are free by grace. It has been paid for already. And so today I want to talk to you about that relationship. A relationship. Because that right there is what's going to determine where you are with your Abba Father. Amen. So right here in Galatians chapter 3:26, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. What does he say you are? A son or a daughter. Amen. Ladies, don't get offended. We're called the bride of Christ. Amen. So, you know, we're called sons and daughters of the Most High God. So when we go here to Galatians, if we're sons of the Most High God and daughters of the Most High God, then we should walk like it. We should act like it. And there's nothing, you can always know a relationship between people by what they call each other. Amen. Let's go right quick. I'm going to just take you over here to Galatians chapter 4. You can go to the next slide. But in Galatians chapter 3, he talked about law and grace. He said that that the law was here to be our tutor. Amen? It was here to be our tutor. It was there to lead us and to let us know that we are in need of a Savior. Amen? We can't go about and do things on our, we couldn't earn our rights. Amen? Amen? You know, we couldn't make it right. We couldn't fulfill the law. We couldn't do all those things. So that's why Paul was telling him, you know, he came to fulfill the law, and all the law has been made and been paid. So therefore, you are free. Amen. So when we go over here to chapter 4, and look, that starts at verse 4. But I want to take you to verse 1. You have your word today? Let's go here to verse 1, and I'm going to begin to read here. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but he is under guardians and he is under stewards until the time appointed by the Father. All right, so this is what I want you to know. Okay, before they were all sons of Abraham, amen? They were all sons of Abraham, but they were still under a guardianship. They were still under a stewardship. It's just like you, it's just like Brother Robert being a king. He has a son, he's an heir. And really, in due time, he's going to be over everything. But he's still not there yet until the Father appoints, all right? Until the Father says, it's time, all right? So he's an heir, he's owner of it all, but he still's got to be watched over. If Brother Robert goes out of town, he's going to say, hey, I got to leave him with a babysitter. I got to leave him with a guardian. All right? So until Christ came, we were left under a guardian, which was what? The law. So we were learning because, listen, anytime you have a people, they need to have a constitution. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. The first thing when you establish a kingdom is you need a constitution. That's why when they came over on that Mayflower in Plymouth over there, they had to establish a constitution, because where there is no law, there is anarchy. Amen. And before, when they were coming out of the wilderness, when they were coming out of Egypt, you know, in the wilderness with Moses, what did he have to take Moses up to the mountain and give him a law? Before, they weren't accountable, but when the law was present, they were accountable. Amen? So therefore, that's what the law was for. The law was for to teach us, hey, we can't do this on our own. Every year they had to come and bring a lamb and they had to sacrifice, because every year you're going to sin. Every year you're going to miss it. So that's what it was there for. And that's why when you were an heir, but when Christ came, come on somebody, when Christ came, you were able to take ownership. Amen. You were able to take dominion. Come on, somebody. You were able to subdue all over again, like he told Adam in the very beginning. You see, let me tell you something, what happened when in the very beginning in the garden, man, God created us to have dominion and subdue the earth. But what happened here is that Adam and Eve, they divorced God and they yoked up with the devil. They yoked up with him. How do you know that? Well, before they yoked up with the devil, they had God's nature. They thought like God. They spoke like God. They didn't know murder. They didn't know lies. They didn't know any of that. But the day they say, I want to divorce you, and I want to, they got married to that sin nature. And from that point on, the first thing they had was shame, fear. They had all these things. So therefore, the second Adam came, so we can get married back to the groom. Come on, somebody. Amen. He says, you know, I know that you had this sinful nature. I know you don't even know how to treat. You don't even know how to treat a woman. Come on, somebody. You know, sometimes if you've been, and that's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Amen. You got to get that born again. You got to get renew your mind. You got to get that new creation on the inside of you. Amen. So let's continue to read verse 2. He says, but he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. All right? We were in bondage through the elements of the world. Excuse me. And so we didn't really know. Why? Because we had that sinful nature. You know, you always hear people say, well, you know, we all have a sinful nature. We all have that. But let me tell you something. When you continue to say that you can't overcome because you have a sinful nature, you're saying that the cross wasn't good enough. You're saying that everything that Jesus did to take away all that lust and all that addiction and all that anger, you're saying it wasn't good enough. It was good enough. It washed it away. It took everything away. He took all of our pains. He took all of our stripes. He took it all. So we're able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he says here in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman. All right. So let me tell you something real quick. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing for it a few weeks ago. And you know, if I had a business and I wanted to if I wanted to train somebody to be a plumber, I would send a plumber. If I needed somebody to be trained to be an electrician, I would send an electrician. But the Father says, I want to train them to be sons and daughters, so I'm going to send my son. I want them to know how to talk to me. I want them to know how to walk. I want them to know how to use the authority like they are my son, because we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. He is our elder brother. Come on, somebody. So God wanted you to know your inheritance. Amen. You know, I tell you what, I love my earthly father. But the Lord is calling me his son. He's calling you his daughter. Amen. And if you want to know how to address him, and look, don't get me wrong, I don't mind anybody praying. You can pray any kind of way you want. But, like I said before, you usually know a relationship by the way we address each other. My grandson calls me Popo. All right? Your grandchild may call your grandmother Nana or Momo or Grandma. She doesn't say, hey, Mother Almighty, oh, Lord of Hosts. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. You can call them, oh, Lord, King, Almighty God, Lord of Hosts. You can do that. But I want to call them Daddy. I want to call them Father. Amen. When I talk to my daddy, because look, let's continue to read. He says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You have been given the spirit of a son, not a slave. Go to the next slide, brother. That goes to my next point right here. Because right here, the slave, when he goes to the next slide, the slave has a master. But the son has a father. Amen? We are no longer slaves. We're no longer forced to do anything. Can you imagine how a slave gets when you tell him, look, after you clean up that, I want you to go build that. He kind of goes, oh, I don't even want to go over there. They having that thing on Saturday. We just went over there on Thursday. But a son says, praise God. I'm ready to go. Just tell me what time to be there, Pastor Elvin. Amen? There's a difference. I said, there's a difference. The slave has a master. The son has a father. Amen. You know, we pray every Tuesday. And that's, man, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to just get there. We could, sometimes we'll pray an hour or 2 hours. You know, there's no time limit because we enjoy being in the Father's presence. Amen? In His presence is fullness of joy. Nobody forced there. Amen. Get there. Look at that, man. What's the time? What's that going? Hurry up. Pastor Evan, keep on rolling. I wish you'd just cut it off already. Come on. That's the words of a slave. He's like, man, the slave wants to hurry up and go home. I wish he'd hurry up. He didn't work me. He working me like a Hebrew slave. He didn't go and let hurry up already. You know, Luby's is about to get packed. Come on, somebody. Amen. But the son loves being in his father's presence. Amen. We're no longer slaves. But we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? Amen? You know, the Bible says in Romans 8, 15, 16, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. You know, one of the amazing things the Lord was showing me in this and that, you know, when we're born, you don't get to choose your parents. As a matter of fact, your parents don't get to choose you. Amen? When you're an orphan, you don't get to choose your parents. But your parents get to choose you. I want you to know you've been chosen. I said, you've been chosen. He chose you. He picked you out and He says, I want her. I want him. You know, the Lord Jesus picked you out because we were orphans. We were orphans. You know, just like this child walking around. That's how we were. We were roaming around. We didn't know. We didn't have a care in the world. But He says, I want that one. I want him. Look how he's caring. I want him. And that's the way God chose you. Because we were orphaned. But now we have the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into the family. You couldn't choose him, but he chose you. You didn't love him. He first loved you. Amen? So when you get that, like, you know what? I didn't choose God. I didn't choose him. He chose me. Miss Bonnie, he chose me. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my daddy would pick me out. Even when I was living like the devil, I had hell all around me. You know, I cussed like a sailor. He still says, I still want him. Some of you guys that like automobiles, you may see I like Monte Carlo, 1970 Monte Carlo, and it may be beat up, and your wife said, my wife told me, that's an ugly car. But when I see it, come on somebody, I see it restored, I see it painted, I see myself driving in there all the way around. Amen. And that's the way God sees us. He doesn't see us of what we are, He sees us of what we could be. He sees potential. You know what potential is? is what you could be. Every one of us have potential. It's gifts that you have not yet discovered. It's power that you have not tapped into yet. Amen? It's that preacher and that prophet and that evangelist that's trapped on the inside and he wants out. Your father saw it. He put it there. He put it there. Your daddy saw it. You know, and this is the thing. I don't want to go too quick because I know that some of us have not, you know, sometimes we look at God, maybe sometimes of the father figure we had in our lives. And some of us may have not had a good father figure, a good daddy. You probably never got to say daddy. You just knew you had a father. Some of you have never met him. But I want you to know that he's a good, good father. I said he's a good, good father. The Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. Amen. The Bible says that he's even a husband to those that ain't wedded. Amen. The Bible says that he's the great I am. And so I want you to, if you've had a bad experience or a bad picture of it, you know, he's different. He'll never let you down. I said he'll never let you down. He'll be with you in the good times and the bad times. Amen? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? The ever-present help in the time of need. Amen? When everybody walks out, he walks in. Amen? Come on, somebody. I mean, if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. All right? When everybody else is talking about you, he's steadily building you up. You know, amen? You know, I have a young man here. He preached. He taught a class. He taught on a Wednesday about who do you have in your corner? Amen? Who do you have in your corner? And I love that illustration because when you get out there and you're saved, you start going out there, the devil comes against you. And you got to fight with the word. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against those principalities and those dark places and those high things that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But when you got Jesus in your corner, all right, you can come out, you probably come back to the corner all beat up, oh Lord. He says, hey, Brother Robert, we've been training for this. You got more wind. Look at him. He's getting tired. He ain't going to just get on back out there. Hit him in the ribs. Hit him on this side. Hit him on that side. See, he's in your corner. He's watching every move. You may think that you're about to just throw in the towel. But he says, no, it's in you. It's in you. You've been training for this. Those quiet nights that you've spent with me, amen? Those times where you were in that storm and it was dark and you stayed every dime and we talked together and you opened up that word and you got built up in your most holy faith. Come on, son. Come on now. Huh? Praying in the spirit. He says, you got him. Amen. You got him. Don't let that look fool you. He's about to grasp his last win. Amen? The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? And so, let's go to the next slide. Praise God. I want you to look at this here. It says, the slave is an employee and the son is an heir. The slave is doing things maybe like a hireling. They're there because they're getting something from it, or they're there to benefit themselves. But the son is an heir. How many of you have been to a restaurant before? You know, and you got that waitress and she's got that menu. And how many? You know, three. All right, just sign here and they give you a little budget. Go sit over there. There are about five tables empty. She's an employee. Because if she was the owner, all them tables would be filled. Amen. All right? And so that's why, like, when people come to our church, I want them to establish a covenant relationship there. Amen? These are no longer the church's chairs. These are your chairs. Amen? These are no longer our instruments or the church's instruments. They're your instruments. Amen? These are no longer our visitors. They're your visitors. So when somebody comes in, that's your guest. You're going to come over there and you're going to say, hey, brother, welcome. Amen? It's your house. God has given you the opportunity to be a son in the house. Walk as a daughter. Walk as a son in the house. Take ownership of whatever God has given you, whatever ministry that he's called you to do. Amen? Amen? And I tell my young people that, the youth. You know, there's a paper right there. That ain't our paper. That's your paper too, son. Come on now. Pick it up. Amen? Yeah. And see, that's what an heir is. When people come against your brethren, the Bible says that's one of the Lord's detests, that brothers that sow discord among the brethren. Amen? We don't participate in that. Amen. That's my brother, my sister in Christ. And so therefore, that's what I want you to get right there. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I love that, because it's a relationship. See, Jesus came to give us that relationship. I love that. I love that when I come here, it's a family. It's a family. You know, people loving people, people participating, people bringing stuff. You know, I'm honored that I would be your family. Amen? I'm honored. Because family looks out for each other. And you know, and look, don't get me wrong. Family's got disagreements. There have been times I argue with my brother, but I still love him. I still forgive him. The Bible says that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? We are to be reconciled. We don't stay mad. We get glad. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's what God has called us to do. We are to reconcile people. When we see people, I mean, we have a taco stand that we go to, Pastor Elvin, on Wednesday nights. It's right there by the church. And so many people have gotten saved right there at that taco stand, right there. They've come up and they'll say, hey, brother, do you have something? Man, look, come over here. We're going to get you some of these tacos right quick. You know, there was somebody last night, Jaime, that was there. And some brother, I was in my car, I was looking at my phone. My wife was getting some tacos. And this brother comes knock on the window. And he's like, hey, brother. Man, I got excited because he was knocking on wood. But I guess he thought I was going to. So I rolled down the window and I opened my door. He backed up. He's like, no. I said, no, brother, I want to bless you. I said, I want to bless. Because it's nighttime, you know, and they over there. I jump out the car and I said, man, I want to bless you, brother, you know. And so I gave him what he was asking for. Amen. And then I said, come here, brother. His name was Joe. I said, come here, Joe. I said, brother, you know, God has something better for you than this. Amen. I said, he's got plans for you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. You don't need to be doing this. And I tell him a little bit of my testimony. I said, look, I was in prison. I was in the streets. I was here just like you. I said, you go over there. I asked him, I said, do you have a place to stay? You know what? And he said, yeah, I'm playing staying down the street. I said, Joe, take care of yourself. 11 o'clock, meet us over there. If you ain't got nowhere to go, meet us over there. You know? What was I doing? I was reconciling them to the Father. I was reconciling them to the Father. You know? Because I said, let me pray with you. Can I pray with you? He said, yeah, of course. And just pray with them and just let them. Let them to the Lord. But that's the reconciliation. We are to reconcile people back to the Father, because Satan took them away from the Father. He got in between them and the Father. And so that's why he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. Every person we encounter, everywhere we go and preach, everywhere, every, I believe that every church you walk into should make you, by the time you leave, to be closer with God. Not to look at the person preaching behind the pulpit, but to get closer to God, to encounter God, to love God, to draw more to God. I mean, that's what, you got to see him as your Abba Father. That's our mission. Reconcile him back to the kingdom of God. He was a lost soul. The Father lost them all when Satan came in and deceived him. Amen? And so therefore, we have to be those reconcilers. Amen? So we're an heir. I love this. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of things on about grace and law and stuff like that. And I'm a grace man. I love grace. But I don't want you to get it twisted. And there's people that get it twisted today. And it doesn't surprise me, because they got it twisted in Paul's day. So he says, should we sin? Certainly not. Amen? I love this scripture. I want you to remember it. It's in the NLT version, Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation." Okay? So did he say work hard for salvation? No. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. We don't meet every Tuesday to pray to get saved. All right? We meet every Tuesday and pray because we are saved. Amen. We don't got to get up and preach. We get to get up and preach. Amen. We don't got to serve. We get to serve. Why? It's a result of the work that has been wrought on the inside of us. Amen. It's a work that has been wrought because of Christ, because he took something that was broken and he made it all new again. Amen. I love this story that I know Pastor Evans probably heard it. The Holy Spirit just bringing it to my mind about when Pastor John, he used to talk about the violin. Do you remember that story? Yeah, he said, "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it was worth his while to auction off the old violin, so he held it up with a smile. He said, 'What am I bidding for the old violin? What am I bidding?' Said, and then, what, is it $1, $2, $3? But no. From the row far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. When the music ceased and the auctioneer with the voice that was quiet and low, it says, 'What am I bidding for the old violin?' And he holds it up with the bow. 1,000, one, can I get two? 2,000, two, can I get three? 3,000, going once, going twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We don't cry to understand. What changed his worth? Quick came the reply. The touch of the master's hand. The touch of the master's hand. And many a man that has been battered and torn and broken by sin is auctioned off to that thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. Amen. A shot of coke, a snort of dope, and a drink of wine. He's going once. He's going twice. He's going, and he's almost gone. But then the master comes. I said, but then the master comes. And then the master steps in. Huh? And the crowd never could quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that was wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Amen? When you introduce them to the master, to the king, to the father, that's what he can do. He changes our thoughts. He changes our value. He takes something out of us that we didn't even know we had. Amen. I never thought I'd be a pastor. Never thought I'd preach. I never thought I'd do anything. I would go to church. I kid you not. I would go to church and I'd say, "Lord, if I could just remember one scripture, please. I just wanted to remember." I said, "You know, I just wanted to remember one." You know? And praise God. I mean, you know, God will take you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me go to the next slide. The slave is driven by duty. The son is driven by devotion. Amen? You know, when you really don't understand the relationship of how much your father loves you, you'll try to do a lot of things to earn his approval. And I want you to know he's pleased with you. I said he's pleased with you. Amen? And, you know, when my son or my daughter come to me, and when they, you know, how many of you know usually when your kids come to you, they usually want something. So, you know, if I'm doing something and I'm busy, you know, and they're coming, I was like, you know, hold up. I'll get with you here in a little bit. You know, and when they come to me, you know, I'm just like, you know, hold on, I'll get with you here. And so they'll come and, you know, if my son, he's starting to drive. So he's like, "Hey, Dad, let me borrow the keys." Well, there's rules in my house that, you know, there's certain things you got to do in order to get this. And, you know, there's rules. All right. There's rules in the house that you can't just come in anytime you want. You got to do certain things. And so, but if he came to me and I told him, "Hey, well, what do you want?" He said, "Man, I don't want nothing, Dad. I just really just wanted to just hang out. Can we go play basketball or something?" you know, I'd look at them and, are you all right? You know, are you all right? Is it? Are you good? You know, and he'd just say, yeah, Dad, I was bored and I just wanted to hang out with you. How many of you know I'd give him the keys and my wallet? Come on, somebody. Amen. But this is the point I want to make. That relationship trumps rules. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. The Bible says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the tent of my God than to dwell in the tents with the wicked. Amen? So just that, that's that favor. That's what, you know, when he comes to me, he doesn't say, hey, Father. He doesn't say, Almighty Dad, can I have your attention? No, he calls me Dad. He says, hey, Dad, my daughter, she probably don't even know my first name. How many of you, when your kids and you're like, hey, what's your dad's name? You ask that little child right now, what's your mom's name? Mom? That's what she tell you. Why? It's based on a relationship. It's based on a relationship. And when you have a relationship with Almighty God, you don't have to pray 3 hours in order to get that breakthrough. Now, you do it when the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it. You just do it. Every meeting we have, everything, sometimes if we'll go 30 minutes, then we'll go an hour, 2 hours. It doesn't matter. But you're not in there. I heard a story, Pastor Elvin, a church in Mexico, that they would walk on their knees all the way to the temple. And then after a while, because your skin wears out on your knees, there are blood trails that go to the temple. And they did it as a penance, to show this, you know, great honor. That's not the type of relationship that the Lord wants. Amen? He loves your son. It hurts me to see my son hurt. It hurts me to see my daughter hurt. I'm more ambitious for my son and my daughter to succeed than they are. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. And in your ministry, and in whatever God has called you to do, He's more ambitious for you to succeed than you are. Yeah, the Bible says that he has great pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, in his sons and daughters. Amen. So this is a little story here that some of you all know. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Here you got Martha and you got Mary. Okay? And it just kind of shows one is driven by duty and one is driven by devotion. Amen. So here goes Martha, and they both were trying to accommodate Jesus. They wanted, Jesus came into their home. He began to speak to them. So Martha's over there, and she's doing this, she's doing that. And here's Mary. Mary's at the feet. Just relationship, just enjoying the time. Just enjoying. How many of you are, you know, y'all go to see your parents and then you're in a hurry and they say, hey, you leaving already? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody today because I know that I've been guilty of it. My mom, my dad, or even my grandparents, they'd be like, hey, why are you taking off so early? I wish you'd stick around a little more. We live in a fast-paced world. Even if it's ministry, come on now. And so we need time to just spend with him. The Bible says that for those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to know if you're undercover today. Come on, somebody. Are you under that cover? Are you undercover? I ain't talking about undercover Christian. I'm talking about under the cover, because there's a lot of secret society Christians. Amen. So one brother, I heard a story about two guys, and then they both died. They said, man, I didn't even know you was a Christian. He says, well, I was in secret service. You know, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about under the wings, amen, of the Almighty. So here goes Mary and Martha, and then Mary's getting filled up by Jesus. And here comes Martha. She's like, hey, Jesus, I'm washing the dishes. I'm doing that. And, you know, she just, can't you tell her to help me? Come on now. That's the way you told the difference between a slave and a son. Come on now. Every time you sit next to, hey, you know, we're having that cleanup day. That's where you know the difference. Come on, church.
Hey, brother, we're going to the prison. I went last night. Didn't nobody else come? I ain't going to go again. Come on now. That's not a son. That's a slave. He's being forced to go. Brother, just stay at the house. Come on now. Just stay at the house. We don't need none of that. Come on now. Yeah, man. You know, go watch Passion of the Christ again. You don't work hard for God. You work hard because of God. Amen. And that's when Jesus turned to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled. You're worried about many things. And let me tell you something else, because I've learned this in ministry, is that, you know, Martha, she had this ministry, and she was all perplexed, and she was all frustrated, stressed. She had a lot of anxiety. You know why? Because she says nobody was helping her. And I look at it, I've gotten like that in ministry. Lord, where's everybody that said they were going to help? Lord, where's this? He said, I ain't called them. I called you. Amen. I called you. I said, Lord, yeah, you know, I had to, you know, come on. I'm keeping it 100. Come on, somebody. And you got to get to that place. The Bible says he loves those who he chastens. Amen. And there's times where, you know, sometimes we get mad at God. Like, Lord, we're serving you. We're doing this. You know, we're doing a study on the kingdom, man, on Wednesdays, and we're in a topic. It says, work with what you got. Work with what you got. What do you have? What gifts do you have? You know? And that's where I had to learn through my relationship, I was sustained. He says, when you're weak, I'm strong. When you're weak, he says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. He had to remind me, you're right, Lord. You're right. And when I got the revelation and I started trusting in him, when I started depending on him, effortlessly, come on, somebody, effortlessly, just run your race. Amen. So this is the things I'm going to leave you with. You can go to the next slide, brother. I want to leave you with three things on how to live in that relationship with God. Amen? Amen. So the first one is seeing God as Father. All right. And that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, which of you, being a father, when your son asks you for a bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks you for an egg, would you give him a serpent? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give to you? Amen? Amen. You got to see yourself as a son. You got to see yourself as a daughter. You got to see yourself, and you got to see him as your daddy, as your Abba. You see, that word Abba is that Aramaic word that the Israelites, they still use it to this day. If you go over there and you see a little child running, he'll be running after his daddy saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. That's daddy. That's what the word of God tells us. In Romans, tells us in Galatians, he's our daddy. You can turn to that next slide, brother. And so I want you to see God as your father. All right? God, like I told you before, God is not like your earthly father. Number two, approach God through relationship and not rules. Kind of like what I just shared about my son approaching me. It's a way that you approach God. Amen. Approach him. The Bible says that unless you become like one of these, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when you come to the Father like a child, man, he'll give you anything that you're asking. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. And that which everything that you ask, I'll give it to you. Amen. Amen. If two of you touch and agree on anything here on earth, it will be given to you by my Father in heaven. This is Jesus talking. Come on now. Everything that Jesus was telling them, he said, Father, I have loved them like you have loved me. Like you have loved me. If you go to the book of John and you read everything that Jesus came, he was training us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he's giving us favor, all right? Number three, give God your whole heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, he says, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not 50, not 80, not 90. Say, I don't know what's going on. Have you given him all your heart? Amen. Are you all in? Amen. He wants all of our hearts. Amen. He doesn't want anything less. Right. He wants to give you all things. The Bible says all things have been given to us. Amen. Amen. And so tonight, I hope that you go away from here knowing that the most important thing that he wants is a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that I may fellowship in his suffering. That's why Paul could say, this one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are ahead. He knew he had been forgiven. Paul says, I am chief sinner number one. But God, in his love, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you tonight. I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak a word today. I pray that you receive it today. Amen. Hallelujah.